Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And he has so many wonderful things to say to his people. As we love him and respond to his love, his words, his deeds, his actions towards us, we have more to represent God with. And representing him is the key to winning souls. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Every generation has its own version of the end times. And we all need to represent the Lord. Every person has tribulation in their life, persecution from the world. The pushback, the same pushback that Jesus had. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. If they hear me, they'll hear you. So there'll be some people that will hear you and love you and thank you for sharing the gospel and lifing them into the kingdom of God, like my pastor says. When you let people know about the life of God and they receive it, you life them into the kingdom of God. But some people will hate you for it, because sin has a way of hardening the heart. I was talking to a friend yesterday and talking about how God blessed us when he cut our life, our time short. Because the works of sin, to what it does to people, it hardens their heart to where they don't love the things of God anymore. And if men would, if they lived any longer, then the 120, he cut our time down from 900 and something years down to 120 years. And then he cut it down to 70 years. And the median of that is 95. So we live a tenth of what Adam lived, more or less. So the reason for it is because in the first generations, out of all the people that were alive on earth, and I'm talking billions of people, at the rate of life, their rate of multiplication was much greater than their rate of death. And from the time of Adam to the flood of Noah was about 1,500 years or so. And I had the years calculated by the age of man. Me and my brother-in-law calculated it one time. It was around 1,500 years. And in that window of time, people were having children continually. And there were millions and millions of people on the earth, but only eight souls survived. Now remember, when you read Genesis, you're following two lines. You're following the line of Cain and also the line of Seth. But Adam had hundreds of children. He didn't just have two or three, and that was it. He had Cain and Abel, and then we followed the line of Cain and the line of Seth. So, because the word said that he had, and it calculated those two lines, and it says that he had sons and daughters. Just didn't say how many. But so did everybody else that were not dying. So what I'm saying is, in a few hundred years, our country, in 500 years, it went from a few hundred people to 300 million people. And that's just and we die fast, and we don't have as many children as they had. And their children had children. So it only eight souls, but they lived 900, years. Noah was 600 years old when he built the ark. Well, 500 when he began, 600 when he finished it. And his sons was 100. It took 100 years to build the ark, and only four people helped, and their wives. Now, within that time, the sons would have had to grow up they would have been able to help him in 15, in 10 to 15 years, they could have helped him. So they worked on the ark. Let's see, let's just give them a cool 90 years of helping on the ark. But this is what they did. This is how it was done. And we see that that time was cut down because the rest of the world went wild. They thought of evil only continually. And it regretted God that he made man. He had to destroy his creation. And God doesn't like to do that. He loves every soul. But when people turn and they sin, they become a poison. Sin is a poison. It's nothing that you need in your life. You can trace all your sorrows back to the choices of sin. The decision to begin down a road that's not good. When you see the bait of sin, it looks good on the surface. That's something to avoid. That's why God made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that we see something that looks good and we have the ability to reject it because we love and trust God. And that's how it is. We love and trust God, so we reject the things that are not for us. Lust, greed, pride. It's not our friend. When you can reject it, you're going to gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. So when you love God and you trust him, you stick to what he's doing, and you see life through what he's doing. You see him. And then you can handle the pressure of this world. And you handle the pressures of this world through him. Well, you don't do it of yourself. And when people try to stop seeing, I tried to stop seeing it one time. I said, I'm going to see if I can go without doing this and that. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't control my tongue. It didn't take long for me to see. And then I got saved. See, when you know you can't do something, you're better off. It took the blood of Jesus to give us victory over sin. And I told my cousin one time, I said, I had decided I was going to quit cussing and doing things, and then I was going to get saved. He said, you're not in a position to promise God anything. And that was very sobering. Now, I had become a Christian by then, but when he said that, it helped me understand. We really are not in a position to promise God anything. We need him to help us do all things. But through Christ, we can do all things. Through Christ, we can do all things. Through Christ, we can do all things. So as we go forward in him, we can do all things through Christ. So the easy way to do all the things of God is to fill your heart with his word, receive it, believe it enough to act on it. If you can speak it, that's acting on it. It's the things you speak. That your tongue is the rudder of your life. Whatever direction you want to go in, speak it. And you'll live the character and love of God. You will live it out. And it will be in you. You don't have to do false things to go forward. And sometimes we suffer setbacks. We don't want to, but we do. And we just have to deal with it like God will. We can use the judgment of God, and he'll help us through the whole thing. And the whole process of life will help us go forward. What Jesus faced, we have a taste of what he tasted. The same world system, the same demons that he had to fight, we fight. We have to overcome things. And we do it in Christ. He did it in the Lord. He did it with God's strength. Just like we got to do. We do everything we do in his strength. There's no struggle in this warfare if you do it biblically. Through Christ, want to express that better, and I'm trying to. Lord, help me express doing things through Christ better. So far, I've said this, that when you fill your heart with His Word, and then you, that's how you kill sin. You can go and try to stop every little sin by your human efforts. But see, the only way it's going to really work, the only way to fulfill the law, that's basically what we're trying to do when it comes to sin. We're trying to fulfill the law and not sin. The way you don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil continually is to receive God's word and the love of His word. You just won't choose to do from sin. That's through Christ. You've received His love. You have the strength. You have the logic. You have the knowledge of life. And when you can compare the two, when you're looking at life, you're looking at Christ. When you receive the love of God, the love of God suggests love others just like God loves you. And you have an inward desire, a heart, a spirit desire to do the same thing. So it gets into your advice. Whatever's in your heart, it comes out. The things that's wrong, that's not of God, you can deal with it with the strength of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, I cast out demons with the finger of God. When you have the life of God in you, you have authority, you understand that authority. You say, Satan, you can't do this or do that. And he has to stop. He can't do it. He can't start a war. He can't start the trouble. When I see people in conflict and they're getting into a shouting match, I say, Satan, stop it in Jesus' name. And it's like turning the fire off the pot of boiling water. You know, you got your boiling water on the stove. You turn the fire off and the water will cool down. And it always happens. They say a few extra words and they walk away because you take the demon out of it. The Lord taught me, He said, that men are not hard to deal with when you get rid of Satan. And that's all you have to do is get rid of Satan. And you have the authority to do it. But that's not in your strength. You don't have to make them. You just say, in the name of Jesus. And you have full confidence in that name, in the power of God. He can't go beyond it. And it has to be in your heart that way. That's what the word teaches. When you say no, Satan's got to go. That's just the way it is. He don't have a choice. God, Jesus took that choice away from him. He has to obey you and me and all who exercise the authority that Jesus gave us. We're like spiritual policemen. We can speak and Satan has to quit. He doesn't want to, but he ain't got a choice. We're still looking at our focus is Christ, not him. When you rebuke the enemy, your focus is Jesus, not him. When you are forgiven of your sin, the focus is still Jesus, not what you've done. Through Christ we win. And when we live the life of God, if the focus is Jesus, it's easy to do things through Christ. And not in our human efforts, we're redirected. We're doing something of God. When you get rid of old, ugly thoughts, fill it up with the Word of God, and you don't have a desire, you're cutting off every desire to do wrong. And the will of God is expressed in your life. Yesterday's broadcast was titled Law, Living God's Will. We can live God's will. When you live God's way, God's will, you can trace the choices of life. That's where your joy comes from. You can trace the beginning of every joy you have to some decision you made to obey God. Even when you were keeping your bitter word, you gave your word too fast. And then it turned against you, and you keep that word. That's joy in it. to do the right thing, to have integrity, there's joy in it. Sometimes you may do something and it may, you know you got to fix what you broke. And nobody knows it. They can't tell if you hide it from them. But if you have that kind of integrity, you can. There's a joy after you finish everything that you've done. You know, you've corrected whatever you caused to be the problem. You've corrected. There's a joy in doing the right thing. There's a joy in having integrity. There's a joy in the ability to turn the other cheek. There's a joy in the ability to reject what God didn't give you. Some things in this life are so beautiful. Some you may desire that new car, or you may desire even people. People desire people, but they may happen to be married, or you may be married. It's a joy in being in the ability to reject what you can't have, what's not of God. There's a joy in being able to turn the channel from something that's just worldly. There's a joy in hating what's wrong. See, life is in life, the life of God in you. When it's in you, you have the comparison, and you can see the end game of every sin. You know where it'll take you. You know you don't want it. It's going to cause a lot of problems, and you can sense it. When you're looking at Christ, you have a comparison. And you love Christ more than the world. But see, when people start going after sinful things, they stop hearing God. They lose their appetite for the things of God. They have a hearing loss. They stop having ears to hear. And then they stop having eyes to see. And then they start down a slippery slope of being an enemy against God. And they become, to the point, they become treacherous, people that you can't trust. A treacherous person is somebody that will stab you in the back. A treacherous person is a person that will leave you when the chips are down, so to speak, or when things get rough. But the integrity, the life of God, when we love the life of God, we do what's right. We do what it takes, no matter what. We keep our word. And we make things right. But the proverb said, if you give your word too fast, go back and talk your way out of trouble. If you promise something, and go back and make sure your friend and ask them to forgive you of that, or they don't, then you got to do it. See? Life is better. People don't teach that kind of integrity, but life is in it. Now, you can ask the Lord to help you not get in a pinch that way. And you have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit in order to avoid. Some things are avoidable. You can avoid problems. And I try my best. Sometimes it happens anyway. Sometimes things go wrong and out of my control. And I wish in my attempt to fix something, I can break something. Then I got to stand back and I got to stop what I'm doing to fix it. It happens. I don't like it. And it sets me back. It causes problems and things slow down. But you have to do that. There's a joy in doing things God's way. The joy of life. And God is with you. Now, when you follow him, if you pay attention, things are avoidable and things are better. But staying in the love of God is key. It keeps your ears on. It keeps your eyes open to Jesus Christ. And then it gets into your advice. It gets into your whole way of life. Through Christ, we win. The next time, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to minister to you and bless you all day in Jesus' mighty name. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.